You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and rate and review us while you're there. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. The Heat are about to embark on a tough four-game road trip and a stretch in which they play six of their next seven on the road, and it starts tonight in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that later on and get to a trade idea that came in, but I want to start with this, David. How do you build around Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and Bam Adebayo? Because if anything is clear about this roster, it's that the future involves a backcourt of Justice and Josh, and Bam is presumably poised to play a role too, most likely as a starting center at some point. So with that in mind, how do you build around them? What kind of players should the Heat be looking for, either at this trade deadline or maybe even more likely this upcoming draft or free agency, you know, in the next few years?
That's really tough because obviously they're going to be weighed down by some salary concerns. They're going to have a number of players still on the roster or on the salary cap at some way or another. So it's not necessarily this clear-cut process where you can just, you know, trade Hassan Whiteside and get the perfect power forward to play alongside those big three or that young three that likely comprises the core of this team moving forward. So I was thinking more along a larger sense and looking at these three players, what they bring and how to complement them. The thing that stands out to me the most is that all three of them are extremely versatile players. So you've got great defensive abilities in all three. You've got passing from all three. You've got great rebounding from all three positions. Good size at each position. If you look at Josh specifically at a two guard and keep Justice at the point, Bam at the three gives up a little size. I mean, Bam at the five gives up a little size, but he is, you know, he's big enough and I think versatile enough, certainly, where he plays the center position really well in today's NBA. So you're looking at basically filling the forward spots or, you know, whatever you want to call them in today's NBA. And for that, you need probably more specialized talent. And the way that I'm looking at it is you probably want somebody at the three spot. I would say in my head, the way that I have it most envisioned is somebody along the lines of a Chris Middleton. I know he's probably well out of Miami's price range as he becomes a free agent this summer, but he's the kind of guy with his catch-and-shoot ability, with his defensive versatility. I think he's the perfect fit because, again, he spaces the floor. As good as Justice has become as a three-point shooter, Bam is still struggling a little bit with his shot. It's inconsistent and rarely seen, to be honest with you. Josh, again, he's good from three, but I don't know that he's kind of got the gravity along the perimeter that you want from your primary scorer. So you need somebody else there to help balance that out, space the floor, and create more opportunities for those big three to kind of attack the basket the way that they're all capable of doing so. And for that, you need a really consistent three-point shooter. And I'm looking at a guy like Middleton as being a really good fit. Similarly, you want somebody at the four spot who provides enough rebounding and floor spacing and maybe a little passing. I mean, maybe that's asking for too much, but just another versatile player, I think, at the four. Probably your weakest position as far as your starting lineup is concerned, at least from what I can expect or what I project as the best lineup because, you know, again, you have so much versatility. Even Josh can slide over and guard fours occasionally. You know, Justice can obviously switch up multiple positions. Bam is a guy who can guard one through five. So from the four spot, you're looking at somebody who can probably, again, provide a little bit of outside shooting and maybe some passing to boot. I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you. A guy like Kelly Olynyk seems like a good fit there too because he has that passing ability already because he can put the ball down. I think he can score at the rim. And he can pass very well, obviously, in space to floor. So he's a nice fit there. I'm concerned about his defensive tenacity. I think he can still be a little bit exploited there because of his lack of overall physicality. He doesn't block a lot of shots. And the one thing I will say about that potential lineup with Bam at the five is you're probably not going to get much elite rim protection. So it's more about on-ball defense. And from that aspect, you definitely need somebody to complement those three because they're all great on-ball defenders, but you are missing a little bit of rim protection.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something there at that four spot where you probably need to have that player have a little bit more size, maybe even be taller than Bam Adebayo, despite Bam probably being the center. It wouldn't even be bad to have a forward there who can maybe switch with Bam depending on the matchup, right? Where if there's maybe a more of an athletic center, Bam's on him, and You can always play your four against maybe, like, if it's Kelly Olynyk in the situation, for example, on those more lumbering fives that still exist in places in the NBA. So I'm with you. I actually like the Olynyk fit also because in a lineup with Bam and Josh and Justice sort of anchoring that defense, you could afford one below average defender and still have an elite defense. We've seen that time and time again, but you just got to make sure that that below average defender is enough of a plus on offense to make up for it, to make it worth it. And I don't know that Olynyk is quite there yet, or if he necessarily will be there. There are times when he's there, but he's still, to me, in the like best case scenario, was probably a backup five, like a change of pace kind of guy. I think you might be looking for that guy at that other wing spot. That, again, that shot creator, floor spacer kind of guy who, you know, because of the nature of the way Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson can guard guys, Winslow can always shift to guard threes defensively, and you could play that other, you can add another guard into that starting unit who defends other point guards or shooting guards, depending on whatever the matchup is, and have Josh Richardson, you know, defend the strongest player of the two backcourt guys on the opponent. So, you know, I look at the way that the Sixers are building around Ben Simmons. Now, it's not the exact right way. Obviously, there's some issues there with Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler. But if you're the Heat, you can look at this as maybe like last year's Sixers with a floor spacing, a versatile center like Joel Embiid. Now, Bam Adebayo is like that. I mean, he's not to the quality of Joel Embiid, right? He doesn't do all the dominating things that Joel Embiid does. But he's versatile. He can move around the floor well, and he's fluid that way. Then you had like a playmaking power forward like Dario Saric, who tried really hard on defense. Even if he wasn't a strong defender, he was good enough. And then you had J.J. Redick spacing the floor, and Robert Covington as your 3-and-D guy. You could look at that formula as something that the Heat can do, but even that team had a pretty defined ceiling that obviously the Sixers had to pull the plug on and go, you know, try to do this Jimmy Butler thing and see what that would look like. But ultimately, I do think that there's something there where if you could get one other. Like, the reason you and I keep talking about Dion Waiters in the starting lineup is that shot-creating ability. I think you need one other guy who can do that because, ultimately, Josh Richardson is best as that secondary playmaker, secondary option. And if you can have another guy that allows Josh Richardson to play that role then and allows Winslow not to necessarily have to go out and score 27 points a night, then, boom, you've really got something there. Now, I don't know what that player is. Like, we can daydream about Kyrie Irving all day. That would be a nice player who's such a huge plus offensively that it really doesn't matter what negatives he brings defensively. That would be a great player and who obviously spaces the floor and makes other guys better when he doesn't even have the ball. But those are the kind of guys I'm looking for. And then again, at that four spot, a little bit more size, maybe somebody who in a pinch can give you some rim protection and things like that. I think those are sort of the templates, the kind of players that you're looking to surround them with. I do think the consistent thing throughout, they can shoot, they could space the floor, and they can play up and down. They can play fast because ultimately I think this team needs to play fast because Winslow, we know that the offense is at a slow pace right now with him at point guard. But as he learns the position, he'll want to play faster, and we know that Justice Winslow can be really effective going downhill, and that might be like the next level for him to unlock. So I think ultimately floor spacers, guys who can get up and down the court, and maybe one day Miami is playing an up and down fast paced game. You know, with Justice Winslow running the show and a bunch of floor spacers.
You have any specific names in mind? I'm looking at a potential free agent list here, and it's not a great one as far as what we're looking for, and not certainly not affordable options. But the best name that comes up, and he's probably well out of our price range, is I think a Tobias Harris.
Yeah, you're right. Like the Heat don't have any cap space. If they were going to acquire a guy like that, it would have to be through trade this next summer or this trade deadline or something like that. I keep going back to Kevin Love.
Mm.
He's everything we're talking about from Kelly Olynyk, but more.
Yeah.
You know, like he's still a big body. He still provides a little bit of rim protection from the four, even though he provides, you know, none of that when he plays the five. Like there is still a little bit of rebounding there, obviously. A phenomenal passer, great three-point shooter who spaces the floor, demands respect of the defense. And I think he's enough of a plus still offensively that you don't have to worry so much about the defensive liability there, especially if you line him up next to Bam Adebayo in the front court, along with guys like Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson who can switch on to bigger guys. I think Love is a really good fit. Now, obviously, the contract thing is a concern. Do you want to take on that sort of deal and basically get rid of your cap space going into 2020, 2021, 2022? Probably not. But if you're projecting down the road and you're able to maybe put still fit in a max salary in 2021, for example, which I think the Heat would be able to do even if they did trade for Kevin Love, you'd have to get rid of a couple of those long-term James Johnson, Deion, or Kelly Olynyk contracts. But you could make it work, and I think he would be like a really good fit in that veteran presence. I keep trying to not talk myself into it.
What about Marcus Morris? He's a guy that doesn't get a lot of publicity, I think, but he's going to cash in big, and he's been huge for Boston this year. He's probably going to get paid a heck of a lot of money. So, again, probably not a realistic option.
Contract year, Marcus Morris.
Well, I mean, not a realistic option for Miami, but, I mean, he spaces the floor. Nah. He's a bigger body. He can rebound. He can pass. I mean, he's...
James Johnson's not that bad of a fit.
No, he's not either. I mean, I you know, you like it. I don't know what the numbers are for Johnson's Adebayo in the starting lineup. They're probably not that good.
Well, I don't think on balance they are, but they did look a little bit better in that game where Whiteside was out. They started James Johnson and Bam. They looked okay against small sample one game. But like if Whiteside's not on the team and you're starting Bam Adebayo at center and you can rotate between James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk based on the matchup or whoever ends up working out the best, that might not be a bad place to start with this, right? Even if you're not getting a star or adding a new name to that power forward rotation, you just start there and then try to fill in whatever that third spot is, that Rodney Magruder spot on the perimeter, and try to find the best fit there. That might be where that might be the starting point. Should the Heat look to the Western Conference for a wing scorer? We'll talk about that next. Okay, so we have some leftover questions from our Monday mailbag. This one comes from at Top Flight Beats, who asks, how do you guys feel about a Goran Dragic trade to Dallas? He can fill the void left by J.J. Barea and be paired with his boy Doncic, since Winslow needs to remain the starter. Maybe Dragic, Rodney Magruder, and or a second rounder for Wes Matthews is expiring. So that's one part. And then we have a second question from Kevin, who asks, Goran Dragic and Kelly Olynyk for Harrison Barnes? Who says no? So we've got a couple of Dallas trade ideas. And before and after these trades came in, or these trade ideas came in, David, it was reported that by ESPN that the Mavericks are shopping Dennis Smith Jr. Now, I don't think Dennis Smith Jr. is the fit for Miami. Maybe you disagree, but I again, going back to what we were talking about, floor spacing, I think, is the key thing right now. Dennis Smith Jr., if he doesn't work next to Doncic, I don't see him working next to Winslow, who are like weirdly kind of in a similar position at this point. We're both passing on Dennis Smith Jr., but Harrison Barnes is an interesting name because he could fill in that wing position and provide some of that versatility defensively that we saw mostly in Golden State, where he's able to play both forward positions. I don't mind the Harrison Barnes fit, especially if you're able to get rid of one of these other unwanted contracts that the Heat have right now.
I just think the idea of Harrison Barnes is better than the actuality. And I think from Mavs fans, they're frustrated with Barnes because he is so inconsistent and he doesn't do anything particularly well. Again, he is big enough to play the four. He can pass. He can put the ball down. He can shoot. All these things he's capable of, but he doesn't do them particularly well, and he doesn't do them nearly consistently enough, and he's getting paid a whole heck of a lot of money. So if you're frustrated with Tyler Johnson, just imagine a 6'8" version of that that's getting paid even more than Tyler. So I just imagine that he would come to Miami and immediately face the same kind of scrutiny and pressure that he faces in Dallas and that he faced in Golden State and trying to be a complimentary player there. It's just not something that I think is a good fit. I just don't know if there is a good fit for Harrison Barnes at his current salary, but I just don't think it's Miami either. So as Kevin's suggestion, who says no? Well, I do. I mean, to give up Dragic and Olynyk for Harrison Barnes, I mean, again, Barnes is not a perfect player. He fits a need as if you're looking at a potential wing player to start alongside Richardson and Winslow, but you're giving up a whole heck of a lot in Dragic and Olynyk. I think, you know, Winslow's growth certainly underscores Dragic's aging, but at the same time, Goran is still a really good player. And early on, before his injury, he was Miami's best player. As much as we were looking to Josh Richardson to take a bigger role, you know, Goran is still capable of a lot, and he was bogged down some by injury. So, you know, last year he was Miami's best player, and I think we're forgetting this. Yeah. He's only 1 year removed from an All-Star selection.
Would you rather have next year Dragic at $19 million, understanding that he's not your starting point guard anymore? So basically you're paying your backup point guard $19 million?
Yes, I would.
You would rather have that over Harrison Barnes at $24 million next year? I'm not judging. I'm just, that's a question.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can find somebody else to fill that spot. Like if Miami has shown anything in recent years or the Pat Riley era in particular, it's that they can find players at the quote unquote on the quote unquote scrap heap and find a way to make them serviceable players and maybe even bring out the best of them. Either it's going to be a Derrick Jones Jr. who could potentially take a leap, or somebody in the Skyforce right now, or somebody else that could get cut in waves. I mean, nobody expected James Johnson to be a good player for Miami. He was a veteran signee that played for the minimum because he was looking to you know, restart his career. And he came in at a perfect opportunity after Dwayne Wade left to join the Chicago Bulls, and this team was trying to find an identity. But it worked out really well, and he's a great versatile player that has shown the skills.
Wait, so are you saying just fill in all these positions on the scrap heap? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I mean, again, I think a guy like Dragic, I don't want to pay $20-something million for Harrison Barnes. As much as I like that idea, I just am not willing to pay it. And I think Dragic still provides value.
Not for Dallas Harrison Barnes, but if you the version of Harrison Barnes, and I know we can't necessarily go back to it. But the Harrison Barnes in Golden State would have been the perfect fit for this Heat roster. Low usage, stretches the floor, does a bunch of stuff defensively, tries hard, gets rebounds, all these things. That was the perfect version. Harrison Barnes on Golden State before they swapped him for Kevin Durant was the perfect version for this team of just like a guy who can stand out on the perimeter. Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, they could still be your two, you know, your primary and secondary options. Barnes is just doing other stuff. I wonder what that effect would be if he got traded from Dallas. Like, he signed that max contract in Dallas. He was supposed to be the man. It didn't work out. If he were to get traded, I wonder if that would sort of rejuggle those expectations of him. If it would all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to Miami. It's not the same situation I signed up for in Dallas, even though I'm still making the same amount of money. I do wonder, like, Goran Dragic, the trade would be Goran Dragic and Ronnie Magruder for Harrison Barnes. That's the one that works in the trade machine. That's what works salary cap-wise. If you're able to do that, and Dallas would honestly probably have to give away a draft pick back to Miami for that, because like you said, Barnes has just not been good. I think it's something worth considering. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm intrigued, David, is all I'm saying. But I do think that the takeaway from this whole conversation is that Harrison Barnes is the 6'8" Tyler Johnson. The Heat go to Milwaukee to play the Bucks tonight, the first game of a 4-game road trip and a stretch in which they play 6 of their next 7 away from home. The last time the Heat played the Bucks, Miami won pretty easily. They forced Giannis into his worst game of the season. David, what are the chances that he can limit Giannis again?
Not good. I'm not as optimistic. You and I were both covering that game. We saw how great a job Miami's defense was in keying in on Giannis and limiting what he can do and what he's been doing all season at such a high level, perhaps even an MVP level. And he looked really bad. I mean, he was struggling. He couldn't get to the rim, couldn't get any foul calls. He was just completely uncomfortable with Miami's zone defense and the one-on-one defense provided by James Johnson, Richardson, Bam Adebayo, a number of players that all had their shot at him and did a really good job at limiting what he can do. So I think Giannis probably looks at that game and remembers that kind of showing and wants to do something about it. I mean, to James Johnson's credit, he's been really good in the past. He's had a number of good games against Adetokounmpo defensively. And you know, he had a great stretch last year where he limited LeBron James and Giannis Adetokounmpo in like back-to-back games or within a short stretch. And he reminded us all of the kind of defensive versatility that he brings to the table. I can't see Adetokounmpo taking it as meekly as he has in the past. This is a new version of Giannis, and I think he's going to be much more engaged. For Miami, it would be great to get a win and to be able to do what they did so well against the Milwaukee in late December. I just don't see that it's likely.
Yeah, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Giannis knows that it was his worst game of the season. He's probably pissed off, and he's going to play the game like he's pissed off, and that's bad news for Miami. Like, great, you got the win against the Bucks. Awesome. You know, in December, probably not happening right now. Giannis is going to come out and he's probably going to put up 30 points and like 12 rebounds and 11 assists or something like that. And it's going to be tough. But look, they've got a lot of bodies that they can throw at Giannis. And that's not something that maybe any other team other than Toronto in the Eastern Conference can sort of say, right? Like Toronto, they've got Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard. Miami, like you mentioned, James Johnson, Whiteside can play near the paint. If he's disciplined enough, that's a big if. Bam Adebayo could do stuff. And if he's available, Justice Winslow can switch onto him and do some things. Derek Jones Jr. has been playing against guys like that all season long and doing a decent enough job. The Heat have a lot of bodies, and so for that, I'm a little bit more optimistic. But overall, Giannis is just so dominant and so just crazy that you know he's going to come out trying to, you know, make up for the last performance against the Heat. And this time, they've got him at home. So it's going to be a tough game, but something to look forward to. And these are the types of games that Miami has typically this season gotten up for. You know, at least they're not playing the Hawks tonight. So that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. If you got a smart speaker as a gift over the holidays, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, man.